Good morning, Broadway family and friends. Again, we will study the Word of God and in anticipation of our coming together. As a matter of fact, we're working on that diligently, and it should not be long before we'll be able to unite again in the building. So we will keep you posted on that work and the preparation for us to once again come together here at the building. Today's lesson, I want to emphasize the heart of Christ, because we've been separated from each other for a bit now, but we're always united with Christ because we're one in Christ. And so I want to look at the heart of Christ so that we can more accurately fashion ourselves after Jesus Christ, our model and our Savior, our Lord. And the text will be from Philippians 2 and 5. And this text says that in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. The same mindset as Jesus Christ. One of the early preachers of the Restoration Movement said that as Christians, we should call Bible things by Bible names. I agree wholeheartedly, because it will guide us as we try to emulate and grow closer to Jesus Christ. I can't see you now, but we'll ask you to do one thing. Would everyone, just for a moment, please point to your heart. Point to your heart. If you're grieving because of a broken heart, would you call for a cardiologist or a heart specialist? Of course not. We know that a broken heart is an emotional issue which requires counseling, either psychological or spiritual or both. We intuitively know where the heart resides. That's why we're able to point to it. But our heart also resides in our heads. As we examine Scripture, in all its parts, we find that the heart is the innermost center of the natural condition of people. The heart is the center of the rational, spiritual nature of man. When someone decides anything, Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The heart is the center of all feelings and all affections. What is done gladly and willing and of purpose is done from the heart, so says Romans 6 and 17. The heart is the center of thought and conception. Again, the heart is the center of thought and conception. The heart knows, says Proverbs 14 and 10. And in Proverbs 8 and 5 and Acts 16, 14, says that the heart understands. So it's the center of our understanding. It's the center of our conceptions and, well, analyzations. These functions happen here in the head. The heart is also the center of all moral life, so that all moral conditions and decisions from the highest, like the love of God, Psalm 73:26 says, to the lowest, generates in the heart. Self-denying pride, Ezekiel 28:2-5, originates from the heart. Again, let me repeat that. Self-deifying pride originates from the heart. Now, let me share this with you. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. Let me repeat that. God loves you just the way you are. The flaws, the pluses, the minuses, the love, the doubt. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you and me to be just like Jesus. He wants us to be just like Jesus. Inasmuch as he still loves us, he knows that there's room for improvement in all of us. Room to move closer to him. And we do that through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite modern authors, Max Lucado, once wrote a book by that title, which will be part of our lesson today, too. What if for just one day and one night, Jesus lived your life with his heart? Jesus lived your life with his heart. What would you be like? Would people notice a change in you? Having the heart of Jesus, would they notice a change in you? Would your family and friends, would they see something new and something different about you? What about the less fortunate? Would you treat them the same as you do now? And what about you? How would you feel with the heart of Christ? Time for reflection. How would you feel with the heart of Christ? Philippians 2:5 reads, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. God's plan for you and for me is nothing short of a new heart. Giving us a new heart, a roadmap to a new heart, one closer to him. He wants to change your heart to be more like Jesus. As Christians, Ephesians 4:23-24 tells us, but you were taught to be made new in your hearts to become a new person. So the source of becoming a new person begins in the heart. That new person is made to be like God, made to be truly good and truly holy. God wants us to be just like Jesus. He wants us to have a heart like Jesus. Now, one word of caution. Let's not confuse God's love with the love of people. The love of people often increases with their performance and decreases with their mistakes. And we're all guilty of that. Our love sometimes increases with a person's performance, what they do for us, and decreases with their mistakes or what they will not do for us. Not so with God's love. He loves us right where we are. God loves us right where we are. Our evil cannot diminish his love. Our goodness cannot increase his love. Let me repeat that. Our goodness cannot increase God's love. Our evil cannot diminish his love. Our faith does not earn any more love than our stupidity jeopardizes it. God doesn't love us any less if we fail or any more if we succeed. One thing to be mindful of is God's love never ceases. It is forever and enduring. God loves us just the way we are, but he refuses to leave us that way. Again, he wants us to have the heart of Jesus. The heart of Jesus has many facets. The heart of Jesus was pure. God wants our heart to have that degree of purity. 1 John 3:5 says, in him there was no sin. In Christ there was no sin. Peter traveled with Jesus for 3.5 years and described him as a lamb, unblemished and spotless. Peter 1:19. The heart of Jesus was peaceful. The disciples shouted for fear in the storm, but not Jesus. He slept right through it. Peter drew his sword to fight the soldiers, but not Jesus. He lifted his hand to heal. So you see, God wants us to have the heart of Jesus. His heart was at peace. When the soldiers spit in his face, did he breathe fire into theirs, which he had the power to do? No, he was at peace. He forgave them. He refused to be guided by vengeance. The heart of Christ, a noble goal for all of us. The heart of Jesus was purposeful. Most people aim at nothing in particular, and usually that's what they get. We're to dedicate ourselves to a purpose. Jesus aimed at one goal, to save humanity from its sin, and presented that as an opportunity for all mankind. We can summarize the life of Jesus with just one sentence. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Luke 19:10. The heart of Jesus was spiritual. His thoughts reflected his intimate relationship with the Father. John 14 and 11 says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. His first recorded sermon begins with these words. Jesus' first recorded sermon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Luke 4 and 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus took his instructions from God. In John 5 and 30, Jesus said, I can do nothing alone. I judge only the way I am told. I can do nothing alone. I'm judged only the way I'm told. It was his habit to go to worship. Jesus was a praying person. He would go to worship, Luke 4 and 16. Jesus constantly studied the scriptures. Here, the Son of God, he constantly studied the scriptures. Luke 4 and 4 said it was his practice to memorize scripture. Luke also says that Jesus often slipped away to be alone so he could pray. God wants us to be more like Jesus. Study the scripture, memorize scripture, and pray. Sometimes our hearts seem so far from his. He's pure, and many times we're greedy. He's peaceful, and many times we're stressed. He is purposeful, and we often are distracted. He is peaceful, and we're often irritable. He is spiritual. We are often earthbound. Here's a pleasant surprise. You already have the heart of Christ. Let me repeat that. You already have the heart of Christ. If you're in Christ, you already have the heart of Christ. If you've given your life to Jesus, Jesus has given himself to you. It's hard to say it better than Paul does in Galatians 2 and 20. Here Paul says, Christ lives in me. Again, Galatians 2 and 20. Paul says, Christ lives in me. If you have given your life to Jesus, Jesus has given himself to you. He's moved in, unpacked his bags, and ready to change you into his likeness from one degree of glory to another, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. The question some may ask is, if I have the heart of Christ, then why do I still have all these problems and issues? Let me share a story with you, since we sometimes have these types of doubts. It's a story of a lady back in the turn of the century who had a candle. And this story of this lady and the candle, story may help us to explain the situation a bit. This elderly lady had a small house on the seashore of Ireland. She was very wealthy, but also quite thrifty. The people were surprised then when she decided to be among the first to have electricity in her home. Several weeks after the installation, a meter reader appeared at her door. He asked if her electricity was working well, and she assured him that it was. He responded, I'm wondering if you can explain something to me. Your meter shows it's scarcely in usage. You scarcely use it. The lady replied, certainly. Each evening when the sun goes down, I turn on my lights just long enough to light my candles. Then I turn off the lights. She had tapped into the power but didn't use it. Her house was connected but not affected. Ask yourself this question. Am I using the power that God has given me? Or am I allowing that power to go unheeded and unused? God has given us the power to be more like Jesus. Have we taken the opportunity to do that? To fashion our lives after the life of Jesus Christ? If we have not done that yet, not fully, then there's never too late to make that commitment. And I encourage everyone to make that commitment to try to be as much as possible like Jesus Christ, God's example for us. And as we close today's lesson, I want you to make that personal commitment to develop the heart of Christ. Again, Philippians 2 and 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So until we meet again, and hopefully we will be able to have our personal relationships again very shortly. And again, we're working on that now, and it will not be long that we're continuously separated physically. Let us continuously be connected, connected through Christ, connected through God Himself, in our love for one another, and our dedication and devotion to Jesus Christ. This ends this particular message. God bless you all. And again, if anyone has any desire to talk about this lesson or anything else going on in your life that you think that I may be able to give any assistance, please do not hesitate to give me a call. May God continue to guide you, protect you, and may you continue in your Christian walk and treat each other just as Christ would treat each one of us.